Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody. Welcome live from Chicago. It's in between hurricanes or tornadoes. It's the sports doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, all things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness, brought to you by Global Schoolwear, school uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger, Lower Extremity Review, LER, and MVP Parent Magazines, UK Health Radio. We've got a great doubleheader. Coach Reed Malby is a returning optimum performance strategist. He's a youth sports specialist. He's an author, speaker. Again, he's returning. And then Sharkey Zartman, Hall of Fame volleyballer, prolific author. And she's the co-author of our book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents. She's a radio host, a college professor teaching yoga. Then we got some Bob Guida wisdom with the sports doctors in and some emails. Reed Malby, welcome back to the sports doctor.
Excited to chat with you. It's been a while.
Give me some background, Reed, on you and all the emphasis you've had in the world of youth sports and some of the highlights.
Sure. Started the journey when I was 16, still a youth athlete myself. Got into coaching, and I coached all the way through. Got a master's degree in first in sports psychology, wanted to be a coach for a living, but only did it as a hobby until, probably like in my mid-30s, I went full-time as a coach. I've run soccer clubs. I've been an executive director. I've been a director of coaching. I went back, got a second master's in early childhood education to help guide the process of educating young athletes. In 2015, I did a TEDx called Echoes Beyond the Game, The Power of a Coach's Words, that talked about the influence that our words have on youth athletes. And that sort of launched me into a new role of becoming a coach for coaches. So I spent the last few years globetrotting, working with youth sports organizations, high schools, schools, clubs, all the way up to national governing bodies, helping them develop better performance environments for their athletes. And I focused on three things: learning, language, and leadership, and how those impacted our athletes. And as you mentioned, I now have a book coming out called The Spartan Mindset, Mastering the Language of Excellence. And it is all about how certain words in our vocabulary can either help or harm our performance in high-pressure, high-stress situations.
You know, in the three or four times you've been on the show, and we've talked about so many of these topics, decades on the sports doctors, you know, Coach Reed, we've featured and talked about the challenges of youth sports. It's such a big business, the pressure on parents, the epidemic of overuse and repetitive motion injuries that we're still dealing with all the time, overscheduling, just too much, and the scenario again in paying big attention. You got those three areas. So do I. My three are awareness, education, and positive action. You know, when you're talking about some of these challenges, we've come a long way, Reed. We feature so much of the progress on the show, The Sports Doctor. Both of us are involved in the upcoming documentary we're all excited about. Joel Franco's Chesapeake Films, Where Our Children Play, The Challenge of Youth Sports. And how much progress do you feel that we're really making in paying attention to the kids' role and dealing with, you know, every time we talk youth sports, we think about the overzealous, ranting, raving parent or coach on the sidelines. It's still a big challenge, isn't it?
It is. We've made progress, but when you take the big picture in, you start to see the progress. But there's still these pockets that you see where it feels like we've been, you know, Don Quixote for the last two decades, not
treading
much
treading
impact.
Water is the term I use. Right?
Treading water would be another
treading one. Water.
But there's great progress. We're seeing it at the national governing body level. I'm interacting with organizations where they're engaging with people like you and I asking us to sort of give them some input. They're starting to look outside their own doors, and that's a big deal when you get outside the echo chamber and you start bringing in people who come from a different profession or different realm or have a different perspective and start to layer in these. So you're not just doing the same thing that's always been done for 34 years. That was always the thing I heard. Well, this is how my coach coached me. Well, it may not have worked that way, you know, and they're bringing in science. And I'm happy to see all of these organizations that are starting to shift gears a little bit.
You know, just last week I had, you know, a colleague of yours, you know, John Eng, the executive director of the National Alliance of Youth Sports, NAYS.
Yes.
They celebrated their 42nd year in teaching and helping coaches in the military families, park districts, you know, non-school related areas. My friends at iSport 360, Ian Goldberg with their app, and the ability of, you know, working on developing communication between, you know, coaches and parents. We all know what those challenges are. And the better the young athlete is, the more the pressure's on, and we start getting, because we all start from the same place. We understand that there's so much overkill going on in youth sports, and we're trying to keep a lid on all of these situations, whether it's over scheduling. Again, like I mentioned, the better the athlete, your young son or daughter is, many times the more the pressure's on. Everybody listening to the Sports Doctor, I'm Dr. Bob Wild, sports podiatrist. If you go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com, if you go over to radio shows, you could probably catch Reed on a couple of different shows over the last few years. International, national, local guests. All sorts of topics. Listen to whatever you would like. You go to newspaper articles and magazines. You'll read an array of exciting articles on MVP Parent Magazine, all sorts of different areas. My most popular article still is Women in High Heels, Accepting the Challenge. We have thousands of followers. We're appreciative to all of them. At Sports Doc Radio, Twitter, we're talking with one of our top youth coach scientists when we're talking about all of these different things, Coach Reed and the new book. What is some of the things you're really paying attention to? Talk more about what you're really paying attention to in the Spartan mindset as it relates to these young athletes and their families.
Well, the biggest focus for me is just the language, how we are communicating in high-performance situations with overstressed performers. And so a lot of times just a change in the way we speak or change in a simple word within a sentence can really affect performance in athletes.
Give us some examples, Coach. Give us some examples of some of these major difference makers.
Sure. So the big one is can't. A lot of people use the term can't, and it's a stop. It's a fatalistic term. When you say you can't, your brain processes stop. So you use the Carol Dweck mentality of yet. So you switch that over, and it's like, you can't yet. I'll give you the resources. I'll provide you with the environment. I'm right here along the side of you, and we'll get to that point. And so we switch out the word can't for in our household, and in the book I talk about it, challenge accepted, no take backs. Can't is a challenge for me to take on that uncomfortable feeling of doing something that I'm not used to doing, stepping out of my comfort zone. Another word that we talk about all the time is will. Like a lot of athletes will say, I'll try, or if I ever get to this point, or if I ever learn this skill. And we say, as a coach, switch that language, reframe it, it's will. You will get there. It may take some time, it'll take some work, I'm here to support you, but you will be able to do it, not if. And actually, that's the very first chapter in the book I address, the word if, and because that's such an uncertain word. There's no future outcome attached to that word. And so when your language is uncertain, your outcomes are uncertain. So as a coach, we have to start using more concrete, less abstract language, and using language that creates imagery and creates brain processes that are functioning within the athlete. And, you know, research has shown that if you visualize properly, you can actually create muscle innervation. Jean-Claude Keeley did it way back in the old days as a skier. So we know that using language that is image-rich and language that creates certain outcomes and is concrete with our athletes can actually help their performance because it begins in the brain, and that's where skill is housed.
Even the idea, again, you know, when I talk about these three areas of awareness, you know, what are the challenges? What are the problems? Education, exactly like what you're really, really participating in right now. And then positive action, which is making some of these positive changes. You know, even the, again, the topic of words And we talk about communication all the time in so many, whether it's between parents, the parent and their son or daughter athlete, the coach, the recruiter, the school, whatever it is, these kinds of challenges. So that's a great point, which is, again, in paying attention to some of the nomenclature and actual language that's used in order to be able to make a positive difference. I would imagine that this is news to a lot of coaches and parents.
It is. I've been doing the tour. I'll be on about 40 podcasts or radio shows here by the end of this month. And that's one of the things that comes up a lot is people are like, oh, I didn't realize the language had that big of an impact. It does. And that intentionality is massive. When I was coaching, I got so geeky, I would actually script out not just what I was teaching and what my learning outcomes were, but the words I would use. Because my thought was, come in a game situation, they're in the middle of a game, I can't have a meaningful conversation with them. And so what I needed is I needed trigger words. I needed reset words. I needed words that reminded them of things they worked on and started to trigger those brain processes for the skill to be activated. And so I scripted certain words and phrases so that when I repeated those phrases during the game, that's all I had to say. And the athletes knew exactly what we had worked on in training to help replicate those skills. So also, I'm not solving problems for them. I'm not giving them the answers. I'm just using phrases, and they have to solve the problems that they've come across.
You know, what's the best website to find out about you and all your work in the book?
CoachReed.com. Coach, obviously coaching, and Reed is R-E-E-D.com.
And again, you know, like we're talking about, you know, I had on a couple of months ago, maybe not even that, Reed, a referee, an umpire of youth sports, high school, junior high school. And he talked about the incredible challenges to try to get anybody to want to be an umpire or a referee in this crazy, overhyped competition world in so many areas, even with these young kids. Again, we just can't get enough information out there many times to understand that we've got to really, really pay attention to the, I call them Svengali coaches, these do-it-all, know-it-all, overzealous coaches. We're all familiar with some of the horror shows we've heard in exploitation and other areas with coach-athlete, especially female athlete relationships. We find that it really, really surprised me that they couldn't get anybody who wanted to be a referee anymore, coach. You know what I mean?
Well, as you've had guests on that have said it, that the abuse towards referees is just as bad, and they're getting it from both sidelines as well. You know, they're getting it from the stands and they're getting it from the coaching sideline, and our kids are mirrors. Our kids will mirror everything we do and say. And so when we have that kind of behavior in the sports setting and we think, oh, it's just a sports setting, I can separate real life from sports. I can scream at a referee, but I'm not in real life, I wouldn't do that. Our kids can't separate that. That to them is how they should be functioning and behaving. And so then when we get frustrated with our children behaving certain ways, we don't think about the fact that we maybe model it. The other thing is when I have high emotions during a game and I'm screaming at referees, they don't want to be there. Not only that, but now my kids start screaming at them. They're going to feed off of my emotions. And so now this referee standing in the middle of the field with 30, 40 people with, you know, elevated negative emotions towards them. And a lot of our referees are young. So if you're 15, 16, 17, and you've got all these people upset and angry at you, that's a toxic environment. They don't want to
these overzealous parents, too. You know, the famous Dr. Jim Vickery, the late Dr. Jim Vickery, shared the radio with me in the 90s, a tremendous sports psychologist, although he didn't use the word psychology. It was, oh my gosh, that word. He was a performance enhancement consultant. You know, like we're talking about, his number one phrase to parents was, don't be a critic. Don't be analyzing your son or daughter's performance on the way back in the car. And he really, really was working on to, you know, temper down sometimes this, but what do you mean you didn't lose that 5 pounds? Or some of these other things that we would run into when we're dealing with, these serious young kids on maybe traveling teams, club teams, and these kinds of pressures. And we wanted to pay attention to all of these things in the upcoming documentary, Where Our Children Play. And, what were you trying to stress with your participation in the documentary, Coach, and what you wanted to add to the 50 cents we had going on there?
I love Joel. He and I talk almost every day. I was actually talking to him a little bit earlier, and I'll be talking to him tomorrow morning.
He was on last week on the show, man.
He's so awesome.
You know the funny story. In 1 minute, I'm going to say it. When I first met Joel years ago, he was involved, and he said to me, you know, Doc, it's a $13, $14 billion a year business that I have him on every once in a while. A year later, hey, Doc, it's a $16 billion a year business because of the pandemic and whatever. Now, you know, Doc, it's a $25 billion a year business. So every time we would update it, it was more. But what did you pay attention to in the last minute or two, Reed?
The money is going up. Like this, sports has become an economy. It's a small country in and of itself economically. And that worries me because it's the money a lot of times driving decisions that are made, not the welfare of the kids. And youth sports was not there to make money or to create pro athletes.
It's interesting. Your whole talking about how important words are is just as important with these relationships as it is for performance, as it is for preventing injury, rest and recovery. I think that we got to tune more into your message.
I appreciate it. There are a lot of experts out there. There are a lot of people out there who are trying to bring more science to this. And that was the big thing that I talked about with Joel with the movies. He doesn't want to turn people away from the movie because they feel like, oh, it's just another opportunity for us to point out the negativity. He wants to point out what is.
Oh, I worked on him, man.
Yeah.
I've been working on I've worked on him for all these years to let's add some real positivity to what we're talking about. With the world of youth sports, I thought we did a pretty good job, Reed.
We did. You did. And that's the thing. And that's what I've helped him. That's what my role I played in the documentary with him is bringing the science in, bringing proven methodology and techniques, and then being able to say, this is what's possible and getting people to understand your son or daughter can be an amazing human being beyond the game. If we pour the resources into the people who work with most closely with them, we give them the resources to build excellence in those children.
Right. You're talking about the mental science. Yes, you know, the topic I use all the time, I call it the mental game. But like you're saying, it's really striking me, you know, bringing in the science, again, whether we're talking about the physical side or whether we're talking about the emotional and the mental side, and bringing in the science, for example, of how important the particular words are, whether it's after a victory or after a defeat or after an injury.
Yeah, it makes a huge difference. You know, in my TEDx, I talked about how there's brain damage caused by chronic verbal abuse. Well, now I'm shifting to not just that part of it. It's the fact that if we are intentional about the way we speak in these high-performance situations, and I've moved into entrepreneurship and teams leadership development and businesses. I'm doing a lot more work in that area now with companies. But the thing is in those environments, if we're intentional about our language, we're helping enhance performance. It's performance optimization through language, and it's the bottleneck. It's the bottleneck between
paying
the brain
attention
and the body that matters.
I tell you, I knew the time would fly with Coach Reed Malpe. Coach, give me again quickly the site people to find out about everything you're doing in the book.
CoachReed.com, and the book is available at every major retailer. It's called The Spartan Mindset.
Great. I'm so glad we're kicking this off with you. And we're really thankful that you came on, Reed. And hold on, Reed. We'll be right back, everybody. Sports. Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book, give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctors In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together 8 different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about 6 parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athletes. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Hey everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Everybody, we are back live from Chicago. It is the Sports Doctor. I really want to welcome Sharkey Zartman, Hall of Fame volleyballer, prolific author. She's the co-author of our book, Hashtag Hey Sports Parents. She's a radio host. That's how I met her at the National Publicity Summit. She was the press. We realized, holy cow, I think I treated some of her teammates in the 80s or 70s. She's also a college professor. Sharkey, welcome back to the Sports Doctor.
Oh, I'm excited to be here, Dr. Bob.
I know you've got one. I might have been your original book, Shark Sense. Was that your original book that you're really revamping and coming out
yes.
with again soon?
Yes, I originally came out in 2006, and it was just part of a workshop that I did to kind of learn more about the book publishing business, and so I went through it all myself and just had such a ball writing this book. It's so fun to do something creative instead of just instructional, and so, yeah.
Great, that's a great point, something creative rather than instructional. It reminds me of the creativity of the cartoons in our book, which I've had so many fantastic comments. Who did those cartoons with Hashtag Sports Parents?
Damian Fulton. He's the one that, that did the cartoons, and he did them just for our book. Yeah.
Yes. Well, there's got to be a sequel. It's going to be Hashtag Hey Sports Parents and Grandparents.
I know.
As a matter of fact, the first cartoon in that book is this these figures in the background that everybody's screaming and ranting and raving around the stadium, and someone says, man, I'm telling you, these parents are crazy. And the guy says, what are you talking about? It's the grandparents. I know,
yeah.
I'm paraphrasing you.
I know. It's not just the parents, yes.
And I've been an exciting contributor to a few of Sharkey's books. One of my faves, So You Think You Want to Coach Kids? I wrote an article for her book, Empowered Aging, and I said aging is a balancing act. Of course, I was being cute, but I was talking about the challenges of balance and falling in seniors. And I think I got a couple of blurbs maybe and have fun getting fit. And all your world, again, involves the world of fitness. After all, you were a champion athlete. I had your husband, Pat, on. It was great.
Right.
Last month, because he was one of your mentors and one of your coaches, right?
Yes. I approached him when I was in high school to see if he would teach me how to play volleyball because I really wanted to be good. I had a dream of making the national team, and he really didn't want to coach girls. He was a football coach, but he said if I got some girls together, he would help us out. And yeah, that became a journey in terms of my success. He's a tough coach, but he's really, really good.
You know, one of the most physical of sports, period, is volleyball and power volleyball. On top of that is doing it in the sand.
Oh, yeah.
And the kind of what that takes athletically. And when we worked within the late Bob Guida, my colleague for 40-something years, who was a strength and conditioning coach for the volleyballers, back with you in some way, shape, or form, or right after you, and we would always talk about that, tremendous challenge of those kinds of moves and jumping and moving, changing direction on the beach. And you played both, didn't you?
Yes, I was fortunate enough that I could play both. And so, yeah, I played beach volleyball in the summer and indoor volleyball the rest of the time. And I don't know that it's really possible to do that anymore because both sports are so big right now. People have to choose one or the other.
Challenges, you know, again, we wrote about it. One of the challenges regarding that there's an epidemic in capital letters of youth sports overuse injuries. It's overkill times 20. And of course you and your contribution in the Sports Parenting 101 when you did the intro and you talked about some of these different levels of coaching and what parents should be looking out for and whether it's high competition or whether it is, you also knew what it took to become a champion. Yet you also paid such attention that it was supposed to be fun for kids. I always thought you had that great marriage between those two areas, Sharky.
Right. You know, it's so important for, you know, especially the younger kids these days. I went to my little grandson's playoff basketball game.
I was nine years old.
And it was the most intense thing I've ever seen. The coaches were yelling at the kids.
You're kidding.
Yelling
How old
at
is
each
he?
Other. The parents were yelling at the coaches. My little
How
granddaughter
he,
was
Sharky?
Crying sitting next to
You're
me.
Kidding.
She was so
yes.
upset. It was terrible.
The radio show. You know, we've been working on this with experts around the world, as you know. I've got so many different groups that contribute to everything that we're doing along those lines of that kind of challenge. How old is your grandson?
He's nine. Oh, he just turned
ten.
He just turned 10 yesterday, yeah.
All right, double figures, yes. And my youngest grandson is 7. And again, and I had a referee on the show, Sharky, a couple of months ago, talked about the fact that they can't get people to want to be referees or umpires because of this kind of behavior. And, you know, again, that education for these they need a gigantic dose of shark sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
They do.
You
know, my late great sports psychologist colleague, the late Jim Vickery, who shared the radio with me in the 90s, and he was a sports psychologist for Northwestern for a couple of teams. He never called himself a psychologist. It scared people. He was a performance enhancement consultant. You know, that
That's
world
better.
Has changed.
Yeah.
First thing he said, I used to drag him along to when I would talk to parents about you should have ice in the bag and what's the best shoes and injuries. And he would talk to parents about behavior. And his number one key was to parents was not to be a critic.
Yeah,
and then
that.
He also said, be good, be a good listener. And there's this high tension. And the more talented the kids are, even at 9 and 10 years old, I'm disappointed that you had that experience. And it's hard to speak up sometimes, isn't it, Grandma?
Yeah, well, you know, my daughter was there. My daughter went over and tried to calm the parent down that was yelling at the coach. And but the thing that was kind of sad was that the referees really didn't do that much. I mean, they just kind of let it go on. And so I was so disappointed. My little grandson said he doesn't want to play basketball anymore. That's sad, isn't it?
Well, this is, again, the three words I stress all the time on the sports doctor is awareness, education, and positive action. And again, the awareness that this still goes on, nobody's surprised or shocked by it. And the fact that, again, we continue to provide so much education in, you know, your books, so you want to coach kids. Really, we talked about so much of that, what's expected, what should be expected when we're talking about parents and coaches. And, of course, the more talented the young boy or girl is, the more the pressure seems to be on.
Right.
And, again, you lived it. You know,
right.
Growing up to become a great athlete, when you were already very serious, how young were you when you got serious about volleyball, Sharky?
I really didn't get serious about volleyball until I was in high school. You know, beach volleyball I played for fun. And so, but, you know, when I was growing up, we didn't have all these clubs and stuff. I mean, we just played for fun. I mean, you know, we had fun playing sports and going out and getting dirty and, you know, and now everything is so controlled by the adults. You know, some of the kids, they stop playing sports before they go to high school. They've had it.
That's why we want to continue to shine a light on and be aware, again, of what the situation is. You know, in our book, I called some of these coaches Svengali coaches.
That's right.
Where they are just overwhelming. Not that you shouldn't be strict or have rules to follow and whatever, but the days of Bobby Knight throwing the chair across the room, or one of the first stories I told you about the international volleyballers we see, where a coach turned around and slapped one of the girls that was in line. This was a Japanese team, and we just could not believe it.
Right.
The American team, well, we thought you guys were tough. It was just absurd. So adding to the equation the fact that we are paying attention to the kids, we want the kids to have fun, we want that to be very, very important, and we want parents to be good listeners. Even in the area, again, in the book where we pay so much attention to bringing together experts in all of these different areas, nutrition, physical training, coaching, parenting, you know, everybody putting their 2 cents in to the problems, which have quadrupled since we wrote the book 4 years ago. Everybody I talk to from wherever they are in the world, whatever their vocation on the radio, talks about mental health, Sharky, and the challenges in all areas. I know you pay a lot of attention to that also on Sharky's Pep Talk, which is your show with Healthy Life Radio, right?
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Shout out to Linda McKenzie.
Right.
Founder of Healthy Life. I had a great experience with them. Are you doing your show monthly now?
I'm doing it monthly live, yeah. I mean, I'm just... Okay. I've just got so many shows in the archives, and I'm so busy with writing projects and, you know, just everything we have going on with family.
We'll talk more about all 14 of those areas when we come back with Sharky Zartman, my famous co-author of Hashtag Hey Sports Parents. We'll be right back. It's the Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody. MVP Parent Magazine is special. Evidence-based topics on all areas of youth sports. Rich Dubin, a sports dad himself, takes his 3 decades of publishing. He just celebrated the 12th anniversary of the acclaimed LER, Lower Extremity Review magazine, one of sports doctor's key supporters, and he pours it into MVP Parent. Factual evidence-based info on such key topics like physical and mental training, nutrition, injury awareness, treatment, recovery, and prevention. I am proud to be a contributor to MVP Parent. with the Sports Doctor Is In article in each issue. Go to MVPParent.com. MVPParent.com. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com. Hey, everybody, we are back. It is the Sports Doctor live from Chicago. We're excited. We're sharing the time with radio host Sharky Zartman. How long have you done your show, Sharky?
About 12 years.
About 12 years, yeah, with Healthy Life Radio. And right. You're now, again, college professor, you're teaching yoga, aren't you?
Yes. Yes, well, I've taught health for many, many years, and I realize that our students need stress management at the school. And so I loved yoga when I tried it for the first time, and so I put it into the curriculum at the college. And it's one of our most popular classes for the kids. They love it. And so, so I'm teaching that right now.
We just celebrated a numerous guest of mine, Teresa Power. Who hosts International Kids Yoga Day. It was just beginning of April. I don't know how many countries participate, hundreds of thousands of kids. But, you know, again, the paying attention to stress relief and control, as, you know, mind-body, got some of the best athletes in the world, right? You were one of them, and, you know, yoga was one of the most popular things once people didn't realize that it was voodoo. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, I had trouble getting it into the college because, you know, there were those preconceptions about it.
Ah, yes.
I assured my boss that we would focus on the asana practice, the fitness and health benefits. And so that's how I got it in. And so that's what we do.
Yes. And again, you know, the side of the relaxation, you know, rest and recovery is a gigantic area. We talk so much about it in the book, Hashtag Hey Sports Parents. Again, the paying attention to rest and recovery, as well as paying attention to real, real good nutrition, you know, as well as paying attention to the whole mental side of things. So the mind-body connection, I think, has become very, very popular in sports medicine. And the idea of the fitness side, you know, especially with these kids who are not doing much, you know. Social media has been such a tremendous challenge. I can imagine what the challenge is when you're dealing with the college kids. How's that going?
Oh, I love it. But, you know, the kids are very stressed out, and these last 2 years have been very hard on them because they haven't, you know, had much social contact. And so it's... Yeah, I mean, it's been, you know, for a lot of these kids, it's really, you know, thrown a wrench into their lives. And, you know, so luckily we're coming back. It looks like, at least here in California, we're no longer calling it an emergency. So,
yeah.
Still taking precautions. Well, but, the students, you know, they took a hit. I mean, with all of these things.
Oh, yeah, there were sports teams that the seasons were called off.
Yeah, they couldn't play sports.
There were all of these challenges at all levels. And I think all of us were shocked, at whatever aspect in life we were involved with, what a big deal this really became. And, again, now we're paying attention to the kind of mental stresses that it's added to all sides of that. And I'm sure that this whole, the mental game, as I call it on the Sports Doctor, is become a much more of a participant in Shark Sense. Give us some bullets from Shark Sense, Sharky.
give you some shark sense. Okay. All right.
Yes.
Well, sharks keep moving forward. They don't think about the past and let it destroy them, right? They don't go, oh, I shouldn't have done this, I shouldn't have done that, I shouldn't have done that. They are in the present moment moving forward. And so, and, you know, that's a really good tip for us because
big
a lot
time.
Of us...
Yes, that's an excellent point.
Yeah, sharks are focused. They don't care about what happened in the past. They're moving forward towards the future. And so that's one of my best tips. We can do that.
Now, of course, you had to pay attention. Growing up, you named Sharky.
Yeah.
How to bring some sort of shark sense in one way or another, up and down, left and right, into your life real early, I would imagine, and probably followed you to this day, right?
Yeah, well, you know, I was always, Sharky's my nickname, and I was always called that, and people always responded really kind of weird to me, like I was kind of strange because I had a strange name. And so, you know, I had to kind of, you know, be a little stronger because of that. But that was good. I love my name. My dad gave me my name. And so it's kind of like a boy named Sue, right? Okay, a girl named
Absolutely.
Shark.
Absolutely. Right. You know, that might be a theme song for the book, I would imagine, in one way or another. And again, are you doing any more coaching at all?
Not at the moment. We've been asked maybe to do some things for the grandkids and their friends, but right now we're we'll help, but we're not going to get back into it 100%. And so, but we'll help.
You know, volleyball has become big time. Not that it wasn't, but it really, really has. My alma mater, Louisville, has been a power for a while. It's been fun. You know, following them and the Chicago group that I was associated with, gosh, 30-something years ago, Sports Performance Volleyball, which were championship team all over the world. But challenges in the coaching world and the parenting world in so many different areas. And, you know, volleyball is one of those prodigy sports. It's one of our chapters in the book. You know, we want kids to play all sports. We want them, everybody wants them to use different parts of the body, different experiences. Yes, yes, yes. That's great, unless you're a gymnast or a figure skater, which was the world I'm still so involved in. And, you know, volleyball, tennis, soccer, where, again, you see sports performance, this is all they played from 13
right.
years old and up. They weren't even allowed to play on the school team. It was nuts.
I'm sorry. I really, you know, what if a kid, you know, I mean, doesn't like the sport and is being forced to play? I mean, we see a lot of that. And I think kids should go ahead and try new sports all the time and see if they like them. You know,
well,
my little grandson plays five sports.
Legitimately, but if you legitimately love, and I pay attention to that in the book, Prodigy Sports. If that young boy or girl legitimately, like I have 10-year-olds doing double jumps all week. They skate 6 days a week. This is what they want to do. This is what they love. And we accept it. We
right.
then take on the challenge of what it takes. Imagine the young tennis player who's swinging the racket 1,000 times a week. That's
right.
why Bob Guida always said for the volley, we got to strengthen all these jumpers. You know, people around the world were shocked when I would tell them the highest jumpers are not in the NBA. They're in the Olympic volleyballers, got the highest vertical leaps. And then, you know, years ago, they thought I was nuts, but it was true.
Yeah. So,
and
again, overtraining is a huge problem in prodigy sports. Overtraining. You're right.
But you pay attention to that. You even pay attention to the abuse. You know, again, we can't duck it. Whether it's the drug use or whether it's the abuse, when we talk about that. Sharky, what's the best place people could find out about you, your books, your radio show? What's the best site?
I do have a webpage, and it's sharkyzartman.com, just my name, my website. And I have my classes there, my books. We'll be putting the new Shark Sense book up there soon. And obviously, Hey Sports Parents, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, is up there. And so, yeah, and books are up on Amazon. I have an author page there. So, yeah, you can find me.
Yes. Is this your 10th book? Real quick.
I think so. Yeah, I've stopped counting.
You're double figures. This would be a great topic. Sharky, thank you so much.
Okay,
have you back,
thank you.
As always. Hold on for a quick second. We'll be right back, everybody. Sports Doctor.
If you live in or near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker. Call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with ZeroZilchZip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit ZeroZilchZip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hey, everybody, we are back with the Sports Doctor Is In segment, where we preview some upcoming guests. We add a little Bob Guida wisdom, answer a couple of emails. Suzanne Gray, the founder of Right Fit, performance and fitness, will be coming back next week. She's going to be talking about her new nonprofit organization, GOT, which pays big attention to the challenges of all these kids and all this screen time and the whole physical and mental challenges with that. Then Rick Baba, the baby boomers. Today's Senior Magazine will join us, and we'll touch base on all the different aspects, challenges of seniors and fitness and wellness. Following week, returning the CEO of Baseball Blue Book, Eric Wabena. We're all excited about Baseball Blue Book, adding the whole sports medicine world to a lot of their new app, all these things that are going to be happening. So it'll be great to have him back. And then Maria Mantavakakis, The Tsunami to Greatness is her book, The Tsunami of Life, all these challenges and these mental challenges, hints, so important, whether it's for parents or coaches or the youngsters. You know, Bob Guida always loved rubber bands. When we were first involved with rubber bands, even though, again, Jack LaLanne, one of the real pioneers, had used surgical tubing and rubber bands, you just couldn't get them. Or whatever, they were available. Bob went to rubber companies, Goodyear, get some of these bands made. He loved the resistance that rubber bands provided. the stability like free weights, they require not only to have the strength to pull the rubber band stretched, but the stability to bring it back slowly under control, whether we were dealing with a foot ankle, a elbow, a shoulder. Everybody's familiar now with the multi-level uses of rubber bands. Some emails. Charles says, you talk a lot about seniors and fall prevention. Yeah, I'm going to talk Rick Bob about that next week. Big challenge today with seniors, super seniors, which is falls and the consequences, which can be deadly, as well as all sorts of problematic. Physical therapy groups like physical therapy and balance centers have even added the importance to their name. It's in my book, hashtag A Sports Parent, with young athletes, one of the two things we want to do is, number one, is the rubber bands, like I just mentioned with Guida. Number two is working balance and stability. Standing on unstable surfaces like mini trampolines or tilt boards. So paying attention as a senior to adding balance exercises into your fitness routine, whether you want to stand on one foot and balance, whether you want to do a partial squat, whether you want to, again, if you're at the health club, bring in to the addition of some balance exercises. Everybody who listens to us knows my excitement with the sand dune stepper, this tremendous piece of equipment which simulates being on the sand and really, really works. The strong board with these different kind of balances added to the mix. Hank says, I'm a 50-year-old walker. I'm concerned about heel spurs. Someone said there's surgical problems. Rarely, Hank. Heel spurs are 5% less surgical. Almost always conservatively managed. Proper support, orthotics are a very, very big deal. When we're dealing, heel spurs are a development of bony-like protrusion on the bottom of the heel, sometimes on the back of the heel, but commonly on the bottom of the heel, as the plantar fascia, the strong band of fiber on the bottom of the foot that goes from the toes to the heel, gets irritated at its attachment on the bottom of the heel. It's irritated again and again. Every step you take, you're stretching the fascia. You're running and jumping, you're stretching it even more aggressively. Sometimes you have flat feet, high arches, you're still stretching it. And the heel spur is the body's reaction, and usually it's uncomfortable as it's forming. Not all the time. But if you can properly support the area, strengthen the area, we have great, great, great results. If the opinion you got was that it's surgical, get another opinion. The GOLD program, Hank, is custom orthotics, physical therapy. On occasion, we might use a cortisone injection, other types of regenerative RFB sometimes are used. Again, we talked with Sharkey. We mentioned with Reed today, our guest, about the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, the four areas, the Sports Parenting 101 with Sharkey, the Sports Doctors In with yours truly. We talk about orthotics. We talk about the best shoe. We talk about foot mechanics. We talk about overuse injuries. We even include absolutely some attention to the world of concussions. The third section of the book, Ask the Experts, where we bring together eight different experts in psychiatry, sports psychology, mental training, physical training, nutrition, coaching, parenting, experts talking about what it takes to successfully parent a young athlete. We're interested in the two things that are important to everybody. Number one, can we prevent problems and injuries? Number two, we're indicated, can we enhance performance? Step or two quicker, more explosive, faster. The last section of the book is Parents' Perspective. We bring together a half a dozen parents. They lend their 2 cents. Check it out. It's on Amazon. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents. Happy spring, everybody. See you next week.
The station that makes you feel good.